Okay, let's start. We're middle of Mizmor Nun Aleph. We're going to go further today. Good morning, Ablazer. Ablazer, I can't hear you. I hope you can hear me during the very long reboot, but in the meantime, we'll do it like this. Nun Aleph. Page. Page 462. We're up to page 462. Okay, page 462. Here we go. Hein emes chafatzta vatuchos uve sosum chochma sodieni. Mitsudos David. Mitsudos David on this pasuk is on page. It is on page 463. Hein emes. The word vatuchos means the kidneys. This is a hard word. This is a very difficult word. How does the word vatuchos mean the kidneys? So the Mitzudah Sion explains Bakeloyos Hatuchos. The word Vatuchos means they are covered. Literally, it means, if he quotes the pasuk, I'm doing the Mitzudah Sion, yeah? He calls it what?
The hidden places.
Something that is covered. If you look at the Mitzudah Sion, 463, on the very, very bottom page, 463, it says Bekloyos Hatuchos. Truly means to be smeared. To, you know, like you take some cream cheese on matzah.
It's a fat.
Fat, okay. Hatuchos umichusos. What is it? It's like matzah and cream cheese. You smear the cream cheese on the matzah, you smear fat on the kidneys. The organ,
a layer of fat. Covering the organ.
So the kidneys are called after the fat. The term that is used to describe the kidneys, we're not even using the organ. Instead, we're referring to something which appears to be completely superficial, something that is not important. The fat that covers the organ is the term that we use to describe the entire organ. Bakeloyos, the kidneys, hatuchos, that are, what is the precise translation? I think the word tuchos means to smear, to pad.
You know, when you use the word tochen for to grind.
To grind?
Yeah, so something that
to
is...
No.
I don't think over here it means that way. I think it means to, like you lay it upon, umichusos, b'cheile, v'chein mishos, batuchos chochma, hoop set in the kidneys, wisdom. Okay, so this word.
Ibn Ezra has a similar comment.
The word kidneys. Now, what he's saying over here is that the kidneys. This Chazal very often they use the kidneys as gives eitzah. Person has two kidneys. He has counsel. He has a cabinet. He has advisors. Hashem gave a person two kidneys. Hashem gave a person two advisors. Each kidney is supposed to present the person with the whole spectrum of what to do. Of a dilemma. Should you do it? Should you not do it? What are the advantages? What are the pros of doing something? These are the advantages. The other kidney says, well, I can prove to you that it would be not advisable. There are reasons why you should not do it. So this is the thinking of Chazal. The kidneys provide a person with counsel. Hashem made a person with two kidneys to give him a balance of what a person should do, should make a good informed decision. What is proper? So the word vatuchos, it means it's used to refer to kidneys, and literally it means to coat something. What are we coating the kidneys with? Chelev. Next words, uva sosum chochmo. Uva sosum means hidden. Same idea. Let's read now the Mitzudas David. Hey Nemes, haloi, chofetz atolios nishrosh ho'emesh af b'machshava sakloios. It is your desire, Hashem, that the truth should be rooted deep down in the thoughts of the kidneys. V'im kein lo yafe osa avi b'machshavtoi ki im ki loichoto b'poal. Therefore, my father did not do well in his thoughts. in ki lechata b'pal. David over here is coming to play the blame game. Okay, David over here is coming to plead, it's not my fault that I've sinned with Bathsheba. This attitude of
nature versus nurture.
He's saying over there, no, he's saying that it is nature. It is nature. Right, it's not nurture, it's nature. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. This is a very, very big topic. You know, I once heard, years ago I used to work in the morning, and I used to listen to the radio at the same time. Lehrer. This is not called work. Ooh, look, it's a Freudian slip. You see that, what I just said? That's a real Freudian slip that I don't consider this. True, I don't, because I consider this to be so enjoyable, having such chush with people here in front of me. It's like, this is Gan Eden. This is not called work. Even though it's a lot, believe me, it's a lot of work. But I don't consider it to be work. But, okay, Lehrer, you know, he's still on the radio? That guy's a little real lefty, real, real lefty. What's his name? He's gone? Where'd he go?
Well, yeah, I think he had certain problems.
He had issues with him.
Not issues, he had problems.
He'll tell me later. Lehrer, what was his first name?
Jim
Lehrer? A real lefty. A real heavy. In those days, can you imagine what he is today? Can you imagine? He probably went off the deep end today. But he, you know, you see, it's interesting you say some things. And he spoke about this concept of nature versus nurture. And it was an eye-opening for me. It was eye-opening for me. The Torah talks about what's going on in the world today of Mishkav Zohar. This whole thing, Mishkav Zohar. And in the Rachmana Lestan, in the Jewish community, there are, you know, and he basically explained that there are two different types. There are people that are mushchosim, people that it comes about the nurture, and that's clearly what it means in the Torah, to'eva. And then Rachmana Litzlan, there are people that have a chemical imbalance, and it's an illness, and it's a terrible, terrible Rachmanis on these people. And he, it's all termed in these two terms, nature versus nurture. So Meir mentioned that point over here, and now you want to take that concept and apply it to every time a person does an Aveira. Forget about these type of ugly topics that we don't want to talk about, but talk about when a person does an Aveira, we discussed with Agag, I'm a Muchrach. You can't hold me accountable for my Aveiras. The reason why I did an Aveira is because nature. That is the way Hashem made me. David over here is coming to play the blame game, and he's saying that it is not my fault. Good morning, Rabbi Baruch. It is not my fault. I can't, Baruch, I can't hear you. The computer is broken temporarily, so I hope you can hear me, but I can't hear you at all. Okay, sorry, so I just want to let everyone know that I'm not trying to ignore anyone.
They can send messages.
Hopefully, during the break, I'm going to reboot. That usually solves the problem. All right, but in any event, let's go for it. So over here, David is coming to blame his father. The reason why I did an Aveira is not because my father, he conceived me in sin. And even though the Mitzudah stuff, it says he did not actually do an Aveira, the Horaya Chazal say that Yishai died, the Idyoy Shal Nachash, but in his thoughts and deep, deep down in his kidneys, which is the root of every machshava, there was a sin. Hashem does not hold a person accountable. It's not registered on the scale. A sin in machshava, yet a sin in machshava is still responsible for the event. So this is a very difficult pasuk over here. So it is a cop-out. It certainly is. It's a very difficult pasuk. Let's see over here. Over here in the words of the Mitzvot. We'll try to explain this. Uvis sasum. In my kidneys that are sesumos, the kidneys are concealed, they're hidden in the body. If a person opens a person's body, you're not going to be able to find the kidneys so quickly, because the kidneys are covered by a thick layer of fat. So they're called dover sasum. You made wisdom known to me. just like me, so too is every single person. Does wisdom depend behakloyos? Ulzeramoid machshava ra'ah. A evil thought originates in the kidneys, which is hidden. No one knows about this thought. The worse the thought is, the greater it will eventually manifest itself indeed at a later point in time, even in the next generation. Saying over here very, very, very mystical things and even scientific concepts is that he's coming to blame his avera, what David did, what he did to Poyal. He acted out by taking an Eshes Ish. This action was rooted in a machshava that was once in the kidneys of his father. Now, if you would say this without the mitzvah stuff, until you're out of your mind for talking like this.
I was thinking the brain. Why would it be the kidney?
Okay, so you asked some good questions. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how this works.
The recesses of your brain, you have this.
You're saying.
So you're
asking very, very tough questions. I don't know what to say. Today, the understanding is in the medical world is everything is in the brain. The brain, all of the machshavos are 100% in the brain. The heart does nothing more than beats as a pump. And the kidneys are filters. And every organ is a specialized organ, and they do not in any way contribute to a person's thinking, his frame of mind, that is purely isolated in the brain.
The brain gives the signals to every part of the body.
Exactly. All of the machshavah, that's what we understand. The person's decisions, person's passions, his tivus, everything we assume today to be 100% in the brain. And we don't look at organs having any influence whatsoever on a person's decisions, a person's way of thinking. Now, the problem with that I'm not arguing with you. Today, science is extremely advanced.
So the nature versus nurture, the nature is in the brain.
Of course, everything is in the brain. Everything, nature, nurture, every single thing is in the brain. 100, that's the way we look at it today. However, this is something which is very big, very mysterious, and this is very, very well documented, is that people that get organ transplants, all of a sudden, start having ideas and attitudes and desires of the donor. And they go look up. People have heart transplants. People. No, I'm not. No. This is not a sci-fi movie. No. This is. Go Google it. Google it. This is a well-established fact, and it is very mysterious. No, and yeah. So they'll explain to you scientifically. They'll give you. No, it's not. I'm telling you, this is not science fiction. Go Google it. Google, you'll find.
Did I have an organ transplant?
Dr. Google.
Yes.
Not Google. It's people. Google is nothing more than a tool. People, there are thousands of stories and people documented testimony of people that got heart transplants. Before they got the heart transplants, they could not tolerate. They could not tolerate. Let's say strawberries. Okay, when they see strawberries, they would vomit. Happens to be the person that the person that donated their heart, a heart transplant. He loves strawberries, and unbeknownst to the recipient, to the one that he gets a new heart from a person, and all of a sudden he begins to have this tremendous hanah from strawberries. I'm not joking. Go Google it. You'll find thousands of stories of people telling you that they have become taken on traits, attitudes, pleasures, hobbies of the donor who gave them an organ. How do you explain that? I don't know. I don't know. Cornea, you didn't hear. Cornea is not an organ. It's I don't know if the cornea is the same degree. So what will they tell? They'll say, Okay, I would say this is true. You don't believe me? Go check it out. No. Mayor, you want to go Google it? Go Google it.
My wife on that question.
What?
Okay, it's
100 C's. He believes this is a. I'm not making up stories. People who get organ transplants, it doesn't just, okay, I got a new pump. Okay, you have a boiler, the boiler needs a new part. You have a hot water tank, you need a new part, air conditioner. It's not just a new part. The new part in a person's body completely transforms the person's way of thinking, his attitude. It's a shocking thing. It's a shocking thing. How does this work? So I'm sure scientifically they'll tell you, yeah, this, they'll go tell you the blood and whatever it is. Is there more to it? Is there maybe a little bit more to it? Did Chazal seem to know something that we did not know? Because throughout Chazal tell us that the kidneys are the organ, besides the fact that they filter the blood and they purify the blood, the kidneys provide eitzah. They give counsel. And if a person, that would theoretically mean that if a person would have a kidney transplant and would get kidneys, two kidneys or whatever, or one kidney, whatever, even one kidney from someone else, he would be, it's like he has a new advisors. And his this. I don't think it's going to help. I think the damage is so great.
It makes sense because the kidneys separate good from bad.
Okay, but it's just a scientific thing, good from bad. You separate it. It's not a matter of having in the mind, the heart. Look, there's a big old debate, which is impossible to survive, brain death. If a person, this is how meisim b'chol yom, a person who, according to science, the brain is dead. And today, with advanced technology, they can diverge even the stem. There are many madregos which were Moshe Feinstein Paskin on this. Today they're far, far more advanced in defining many different madregos in brain death. But the heart is going. The heart is beating. Is the person dead or is he alive? The brain, according to scientific measurements, it is completely dead. It's a ki'ilu, the head has been chopped off. Mamesh, as if the head has been chopped off. Yet the heart is beating. The heart is beating. So does that mean that the person is? Should the person be buried? Is the family obligated to sit shiva? So this is a debate which there is no solution to. Okay, there is no solution to this question. And basically, if you go to the big poskim and they say we have a situation here where the person, his brain, according to the doctors, is completely off. It's as if the head has been severed, yet his heart is beating. Should we pull the plug? Should we do this? Should we do that? They'll basically say, it's a machlekes ha-poskim, and do whatever you want.
They actually did an experiment, and I had to show a couple of times, where they took a pregnant sheep, and they decapitated it, and they saw if it would be able to give birth.
Yeah.
And they tried it three times. The first two times it didn't give birth, but the third time,
so it's not, as I said, it's the muscle. So say it's the muscles. Who says giving birth? Who says going to labor is a it's muscles. There's no answer. These are questions. So we do know that Chazal, this says, where is the neshama? So there are contradictions. There are some sources that indicate that the neshama is in the brain, and there are other sources that say the neshama is in the heart. And today, you know, today with technology, it's not so today. If anyone is into Wi-Fi, we have here a Wi-Fi. You see this thing over here, this little blue thing, or purple thing over here that's blinking over here. If you see on this side, that's a mini Wi-Fi router. That little purple little thing is responsible for broadcasting the shir online, wireless. Okay, this is so primitive. This is as primitive as it gets. Today, if you want to go buy a fancy, go a mesh nest. This incredible technology today in Wi-Fi. And what is the new technology all about? There are multiple devices all over the place that together, tzvemen, they participate in broadcasting a wireless signal. And it's a mashal for the neshama. The neshama is a wireless a wireless signal. It gives off, it sends and receives. It's not an neshama in this generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving for us the technology, a lot of the technology, if you notice, it parallels concepts in Ruchnius. No one would ever believe Ayin Royev Oizen Shamas. Whoever would believe Ayin, someone's watching you. You go into the basement. No, you do whatever you want. You go to a back alley. Ayin Royev Oizen Shamas. All of a sudden, the telephone. You dive into Hashem. You can go. I can go over here and speak, and whatever I say can be heard anywhere in the entire world. Telephone. Then video, and then you don't even need a cord. You can speak wirelessly. And we know if you want to go watch some of the technology things, the technology that the government has available to them, you would not believe. You would not believe what the government can do. The government very likely can see us. They can through buildings. They can see they can see what you're doing. The technology is mind-boggling. They were able to do this. What? For sure, that's nothing. That's child's play for them. We're talking about being able to recreate a visual based upon heat movement, and this they did in the 80s already. Can you imagine what they can do today? Mayor Appeldorf, he's not a conspiracy theorist like me, but even he tells me about all this type of technology of what they can do. It is amazing. All of this is a marshal for us to awaken where we're very weak, and it's hard for us to believe. And the fact that we can talk to anyone in the world, the fact that we can have Zoom is, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Any person can go do Zoom anywhere in the world, bring together people, just mind-boggling. And we all understand there's something called Wi-Fi, wireless signals, communication. And if you're into the new technology is you don't have one little thing. There are many little things, and they all work together. And that fits very well with Chazal say that the neshama has five parts. Every neshama has five components. And the five, basically, neshama is a mesh Wi-Fi network. And the five components are located in different places. Part of the neshama is in Shamayim. Part of the neshama is in the brain. Part of the neshama is in the heart. Part of the neshama is somewhere else. There are different elements. It's Chazal. There are different elements of the neshama, five different components of the neshama. Each one has its job, and each part works together to give a person life, to give a person a spirit. And in Chazal, there's a contradiction. Where is the neshama? Is the neshama in the brain, or is the neshama in the heart? It's very, many of the Farshim say it's both. There's an element of the neshama that is in the brain, and there's an element of the neshama that's in the heart, and they work together. And a person doesn't even realize that there are different components that are functioning together. And thus, the nafkamin is, if the doctors will determine that there is no way that the brain is alive, which means, according to our limited understanding, that the neshama in the brain is gone. The neshama in the brain has gone to its... But there's still another element of the neshama, life, of a holy living neshama that's still operating in another part of the body. Not all the Rabbanim work with this. Many Rabbanim tell people, do whatever you feel is the right thing to do, because there is no hachra in halacha, what do in these situations. But it's very complicated. Now, when you add to that equation, what Chazal always consistently say is that the heart contributes to a person's desires, and the kidneys are providing counsel. It's telling you that there is, it's giving you an indication, at least on one level, that there is something spiritual. It's not purely a dover gashmi. We like to look at a person that the neshama, the ruchnius, is purely in the brain, and the heart is nothing more than a pump. It's a pump, and it gets a signal to pump, an electrical signal, and it's no different than some component of your car, of an automobile. And if it goes defective, so you get another one. You go to the repair shop and you get another one and you replace it. There's nothing spiritual about the heart, about the kidneys. Not necessarily so. The fact that Chazal continuously, they tell us that the kidneys give Eitzah. Giving Eitzah is a spiritual concept. Advice. Being understanding, this comes from Hashem. Desire is a spiritual concept. This comes from Hashem. And there are many components. And over here, he's saying here, this pasuk is saying something very, very deep. It's talking about David describing the kidneys. And he's saying that in the kidneys, there is thoughts, machshava. These are spiritual components. And he's coming to say that these concepts, they go down generations. That if my father, deep down in his kidneys, which was covered with a layer of fat, and no one can sense it, but it was there. It was a machshava there in the kidneys of my father, and that machshava that was in my father's kidneys, it played out. It manifested itself in action that I have committed. So what do you want from me? I'm not my fault. Blame my father. Don't we say in Slichos, Aval Anachnu va'avoseinu chotanu? We say that in Slichos. Aval anachnu va'avoseinu chotanu. What a chutzpah. Isn't that the biggest chutzpah you can say? Who's your business to go say that your father sinned? What kind of all Mepharshim, they deal with that. They all deal with that. And what a lot of the most basic interpretation is that they say the opposite. Okay, this concept is really way over my understanding. Is that we're basically taking upon ourselves responsibility for our parents' averus. And if our parents ever sinned, don't punish them, punish us, because the reason why they sin is because inside of every person are all of the generations that will come from him. And if in a later generation there's a defect, it causes the ancestor to sin. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. I never understood that, and I probably never will understand that. Exactly. David here is saying, pum fakert. Just the opposite. And the reason why no one wants to say that in the Siddur, on the Mefarshman, this Siddur, is because it's such a chutzpah noira to talk like that. It's to go on the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and to say, Ribbono Shel'Olam, don't blame me, blame my father. Oh, what a chutzpah. That's how you do teshuvah. You go and you blame your father. It's so foreign to say that. That's why they twist it the other way around, is that we accept the guilt of our ancestors, because since we are their product and we are defective, so our defect somehow caused them to sin. I don't know what that means. I'm just saying words. But this pasuk, the way the Mitzvah Stavit is saying, he's saying something extremely deep. As Rav Michal said, everything we're learning over these last few days is just impossible to understand. David is saying, don't blame me. Don't blame me. My aver is nothing more than a manifestation of a machshava that was deep, deep, deep buried in the kidneys of my father, that was covered with a heavy, thick layer of fat. Let's read those words again, because I don't want to say anything chas v'shalom, not be courses, but he's saying, look what he's saying. He's saying very, very difficult concepts. Again, the words uvis sosum, I'm on page 463 in the Mitzvot David. David over here is coming basically to blame his father for his sin. To blame one of the four people who Chazal say never ever committed a sin. Uvis sosum behakeloyos, in the kidneys of my father, hasesumim, which are completely concealed, ho da tani chochma, you have made known to me wisdom, or not only made known to me, you have made known to mankind wisdom, ritsoinoi loymar. Okay, the pasuk cannot be translated literally, because David over here is speaking about himself, but what he means to say is, komoini, just like in my kidneys, is the source of every thought. Every machshava that I have that I have is buried deep down underneath a layer of fat in my kidneys. Kimois kol adam. Every person is like that, including my father. Teluya hachochma v'hakeloyos. That's a reality. And therefore, ulezeh ra me'oid machshava ra'ah. If a person has a bad thought in his kidneys, do you know how dangerous that is? That evil thought in his kidneys can possibly escape and manifest itself in a deed, in a maisa, in action, generations later. Ki hi na'asa
bakaloyos. Where does it retroactively expose the thinking of the
ancestor. That's what he's saying. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. That if a person commits a crime, you know what it means? It means that his grandfather thought about doing this avera. He, the grandfather, maybe was not able to do it because he did not have the ability. But now that the grandson or the great-grandson, he has the resources, that thought in his great-grandfather now finally broke out and expressed itself in a deed.
You can do it a positive version.
What?
You can make it positive because we said that Yishai Machshava was the Shei Mitzvah because he wanted to be Matar the family.
Okay.
So he, when he did it, let's say he did that very early.
You're saying very good. You're saying.
Let's take it a step further because if you really want to go back to the Benai Slight, who were his predecessors, David was a Hanukkah, right?
Correct.
They also, what they did was because they did it
a L'shem Shemayim. Right. Chazal said they did it L'shem Shemayim.
So it's not saying that.
Okay, you're saying very good.
I'm really bad because my father did bad. I'm also doing what I did. I saw Mashiach would come out of this union. So
it's a very dangerous thing what you're saying, but you're saying an ordinary person that is not engaging in anything unusual. Okay, so, but over here in all of these instances, they were doing something l'shem Shemayim. Yishai had such a desire to join Klal Yisrael. He went and he married, he thought he was living with a Shifcha Kenanis, in order, because of his love for Klal Yisrael, that he should have offspring that should be Jewish. A regular person doesn't think like that. A regular person, he's doing a mitzvah, pre-reviya. These type of machshavas don't go on in his mind. Okay, b'noi slavchad. They Chazal said they did l'shem Shemayim. They did l'shem Shemayim. So you're saying what you're saying is the same way. Over here, we're focusing so much on the negative. David over here is coming here to blame his father. But you're saying is the reason why David was taka so great was because Yishai Adarabba, he went, did something to an extreme, L'shem Shemayim, and that concept is what produced offspring like David HaMelech and all of his children that are the Melech HaMashiach. So you're saying very good. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. I'm sorry?
Can't someone blame the children for them doing something wrong?
You're talking to the wrong guy. I don't know. All of this is just theoretical concepts. We don't look at it like that today. Today, this is a theoretical study. Today, no one's holding on these levels today to go and talk like this. It is what it is. We said, Aval Anachnu, what does that mean exactly? I've yet to find a satisfactory interpretation. Pshat. Yeah, all this esoteric stuff, we're learning over here, all these things. Come on, the Nusach was written for the average person, like me. And therefore, it demands a simple interpretation. It does seem bizarre on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to go and say, oh, my father was a sinner. That's not a healthy attitude. It's not a healthy attitude to start to worry about your own sins. Before you start confessing for other people, confess for your own averos. So what does it mean exactly? So you have all these esoteric interpretations. Okay. If this is what it's supposed to mean, we accept it. But it's very difficult. We're not on a level today to understand the depth of these concepts. This pasuk is, let's read the pasuk. An evil thought will have a manifestation. There is a defect in the source of wisdom. He is calling the kidneys the root, the very root of wisdom. If there's a small little defect there, it's going to manifest itself in action in a very significant way later on. According to the greatness of the chet, the defect, that is what caused the yetzer. Well, we all know today, if you build a building, okay, the foundation has to be perfect. Yeah. Because if the foundation is off by a teeny mashu, if you're building a two-story building, big deal. But if you're building a skyscraper that's going to go up 100 stories, if you're off by 1 inch, by 1 inch, in it being level in the foundation, what's going to be when you get to the story 100? It's going to look like the Tower of Pisa. Okay, if you get up by 1 inch, if you want to go to the moon, and the calculation of your flight path is off by a teeny mashahu. So if you're going driving on the highway, you're going from Brooklyn from Flatbush to Bar Park, and you're not in the center lane, you're a little bit off. Big deal. But when you're traveling a very, very far distance, and you're off by a teeny mashahu, it's the damage is awesome. So you're dealing with spiritual world is exactly the same thing. If the root, if the foundation of something that you want to build in the spiritual world is off by a teeny mashahu, that teeny defect will become a massive fissure and damage the product of Klal Yisrael. Yishai is the root of the Malchus of David. And if Yishai, there is a teeny defect in his kidneys, the root of his Chachma, that's going to come out in Klal Yisrael in a very dangerous way. And it did. David is coming here to attribute his defect to Yishai. I mean, it's shocking that the Mitzvot David says something like this. This is pshat. If you go and you look, you see this in a Kabbalah sefer. You take out a Kabbalah sefer off the shelf, you know, on the top of the shelf, and you have to dust it off, and you'll read a pshat. Okay, no, this is a Kabbalah. This is not for us. This over here is in the art scroll. It's in the art scroll in the Mitzvot David. He's saying over here the most complex. Kabbalistic concepts that are really very, very hard to grasp. So the translation of the pasuk is one more time. Hein emes. It is true that chafatzta vatuchos. It's really hard even just to translate the word. We have to really do one more time just to translate the words in the word. It is true that you Hashem, the subject of these first few words, according to the Mitzudos, is the Ribono Shel Olam. It is absolutely true that it is your desire, Hashem, that inside a person's kidneys, in the kidneys, there should be purity. We're eating in some words. I'm going to read the Mitzudos again one more time because it's a very important part and it's very hard to translate. Hey Nemes, Halechofetz Atolios Nishosh Emes Af B'machshavos HaKloyos. He adds in. He puts a stop after that, but it is your desire that there should be truth inside the thoughts of the kidneys. It doesn't say the word machashava in this pasuk, and it doesn't say in the pasuk what the word MS is referring to. The Mitzudas David is saying, hein, period, and he has a lot of words. It is true, it is correct, that it is your desire, Hashem, that there's chafatzta. We're going to skip the word emes. Hein, it is true. Chafatzta. It is your desire that there should be emes, the midah of emes, in the thoughts of a person's kidneys. Now, did you see how we manipulated this pasuk? We haven't done a slice and dice like this in a long time. Even also, what makes it even more difficult is because according to our Messiah, there is a makof. There is a makof connecting the word hein and emes together, which would seem that the emes goes with the word hein, and according to the Mitzudas, that they do not. According to the Mitzudas, we are completely separating the word hein from the word emes. Hein chafatzta. According to his reading, we are connecting the word hein with the word chafatzta. It is absolutely correct and true that it is your desire that a person should train his thoughts that are rooted deep down in his kidneys to operate with precision of pure, unadulterated emes. That's what your desire is. And then he repeats himself to a degree, uvisosum chochma todieni. And the way the Mitzvah learns is that in my kidneys, the word uvisosum is just another word for kidneys, there is the root, you have made known to me wisdom. Because the kidneys is the location of where all wisdom starts. And therefore what? What are you trying to say? Now the Mitzvah Tovah is an entire paragraph that it doesn't say in the Pasuk. And therefore, my father was a guilty person. Because my father, he, just like I know that the root of all of my wisdom comes from my kidneys, and I have an obligation to train my kidneys to only operate with MS. And if I don't operate with MS in my kidneys, it's going to manifest itself in terrible corruption in the world of deed, of action. But you know something? My father blew it. My father didn't do it correctly. In his kidneys, he allowed thoughts of the Yetzirah to exist. He allowed, he tolerated, and those that toleration of the Yetzirah in the kidneys of my father has now manifested itself in his child, namely me, David, by not being able to control myself with regard to Bathsheba. Okay, so I mean, what he has done to this pasuk, the Mitzvot David, is just off the charts. He's reading a whole puzzle, a whole thing in this pasuk.
Basically, he's saying that we can't bring Mashiach. Hashem is going to have to impose.
Oh.
Because if Yishai was corrupt, and he was one of the most righteous people, and he didn't sin.
Right. Yishai did not sin.
If he who didn't sin had just a little type of corruption in him, and it manifested itself, and it's going to manifest that everybody else who wasn't on his madrega, it's going to manifest itself even worse, which means we have no chance.
You are joining the team of Reb Michal Miller. Team Miller. You have entered into his, you're asking, it's a tzarechim gadol ad me'oid, and I agree with you. This is a tzarechim. You're right. It's shocking. I told you, it's shocking what it says here, and it's hard for us to comprehend. How could David say this about his father?
There's a big difference between thought crime and acting on it, you know?
No, but the chiddush is that the thought will ultimately express itself in action. Not now, not tomorrow, in some generation, the next generation.
Yeah, and it also degrades from the idea of free choice.
Exactly. That's the root of the problem. How can David is coming to give an argument and I'm a muchrach. That's what it sounds like. It's not my fault. I'm a muchrach. That's not true. Everyone always says Hashem only gives a person a nesoyon that they can handle. That's the famous adage. Hashem will only give a person a nesoyon that they can handle. So David is saying here, I can't handle it. It's not my fault. I'm a muchrach. It's my nature to sin. It's my father's problem. He did not control in the root of all wisdom of decision making. That it's the kidneys. My father's kidneys were defective, and that it manifested itself in my behavior. Excuse me, that's pure Apikorsis. In our textbooks today, that would be considered pure, unadulterated Apikorsis.
That would be canceled.
100%. That is not acceptable, such a thing. Every single person has free will, and you are responsible for your decisions. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame your grandparents. Don't blame your kindergarten teacher. This everyone has bechira chavshes. So what is David saying here? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I told you from Rav Chudner, he said that was the defense of Agag. Agag was taken out in Ma'adonois, in chains. What are chains? The one word there, according to Rav Chudner, was his entire defense argument. Don't blame me for genocide. It's my nature. I'm chained. I'm forced to do this. I'm compelled to do this. This is just the way I'm wired. I'm a murderer. I can't control myself. Ma'adanois. He was taken out to his execution. He was first given a trial. It's not my fault. And Hashem is fair. And if it's not your fault, you're not going to be held accountable. And the verdict was, it's not true. Sheker. You do have control. You made a decision. It's sheker. No one is forced to do anything. Okay, but over here he's saying this idea. Now, let's go now to the next pasuk. The next pasuk is Techata'eni ve'ezoiv. Now, after that long thing, this is a lot easier, this pasuk. This pasuk is much easier. Hashem, therefore, it's not my fault. Forgive me. Forgive me. Techata'eni, purify me ve'ezoiv with a hyssop. With a hyssop. Now, what is a hyssop? When do you use hyssop? When does a person...
Para aduma,
then it's correct. And when else? When else? A mitzora. A mitzora. What? A mitzora.
Pesach
Mitzrayim. Only Pesach Mitzrayim. They went and they smeared the blood, the dam Pesach, dam Mila on the doorpost. Correct? Dam Pesach, correct. But it's no longer applicable for Ledoiros. It only applied by Pesach Mitzrayim. But Pesach Doiros, there is no Ezoiv for dam Pesach. Good. But there are two applications. Number one is Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis is not a person's fault. In fact, a person at times has a mitzvah, lo yitama. A person has a mitzvah, meis mitzvah, to contaminate. You can't call that a chet. The only time, if I'm not mistaken, the Mefarshim don't say it openly like this, but they allude to it. The only time a person comes in contact with an ezoiv and he has no one to blame but himself is when he is tzaras. And Chazal say, why is a person afflicted with tzaras? There are many, many reasons, but the top of the list is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. So David over here is saying, So where did David speak Lashon Hara? Did David ever speak Lashon Hara, which brought about, we have to see, I think one of the first ones actually says it over here, I've marked it up over here, we'll see in a second. I'll come to it in 1 second. But in any event, Techata'eni, purify me with the Ezoif. With the Ezoif. And Chazal tell us that David had tzoras for 6 months. He was smitten with tzoras for 6 months. And we don't appreciate this, but a person that gets tzoras is very embarrassing. It's very, very embarrassing because it's a revelation that a person committed. It's a revelation that a person spoke Lash, did Mavera. See, today, look, Lahavdil, Elif Alfi Avdol, today, in the very, very beginning, when a person says, oh, I have COVID. So it was a little bit embarrassing to a degree. I mean, it's a little bit strange, especially everyone, you know, that everyone was a very big promoter to all the precautions and lockdown, and people that went to an extreme. I've noticed this. People, especially politicians online, who went to an extreme in bavarning everyone to follow the rules, when they got ill, temporarily, they all recovered, most of them. When they got ill, it was a shtickle embarrassing. How could it be? I'm a big promoter of all the rules and to a degree that's really beyond comprehension. So that would mean that I'm not going to get sick. If I'm going to sit in isolation, put plastic on my doors and windows, and have no contact with everyone, and the mail, we have to purify the mail that comes, everything. How could it be that I got sick? How could it be? How could it be? It's a shtickle embarrassing, though. No? It's a little embarrassing. So I don't know if you remember back. It was embarrassing. Not anymore. Today, join the club. Join the club. Who hasn't got COVID at least twice by now? Some people got it 3 or 4 times. Everyone should be healthy, gesund and well, and be healthy. So when a person in ancient times got tzoras, it was a busha uchlima. We don't appreciate this, but Chazal indicate this. If a person one day, he's not in shul, where is he? Why didn't he come to shul? You don't know? You don't know? He got the tzadi. Don't say the word. He's been smitten by the tzadik. Tzaras. Oh, he has tzaras. Oh, what avera did he do? Tzaras is a spiritual ailment. He's now in isolation. They have to shave off all of his hair, his eyebrows. It's an incredible busha. It's an incredible busha. Because that means he did an avera. He spoke Lashon Hara. Or gaiva, all the other averas. Today, no one should ever dare do that. We all know how foolish it is. A person, when a person, Rachmanu L'Shan, sees someone else suffer from anything, got to be mamish, mentally retarded to go and attribute any busha to that person, because we live in everyone Rachmanos Litzlan has their nisyonos. But in the time of Chazal, when a person got saras, it was a very, very big busha. And David got saras. David is the last person in the world you would think would be singled out for tsaras. Like Miriam, the Torah says, Miriam, the Avia, Yorok Yorak Befoneha, Halosi Kolem Shivas Yamim, the Torah says Beferish, that Miriam getting tsaras was equivalent to her father coming to her in front of the street and spitting on her. Torah says Beferish. Of a woman, her father would come to her and would spit on her face. The woman would be so humiliated, she would go into a cave and she wouldn't come out at least for 7 days. So when Hashem gives a person saras, it's the same. It's an act of the ultimate humiliation. And you lock yourself up for double for 14 days. So here, David got saras for 6 months. Do you know what kind of humiliation that is? For David HaMelech, we don't appreciate what this means, because we live in a whole different world today. It's not just locked up. No, who says he didn't tell him that? He's going to
do 6 months locked up.
Achleisnish, but we'll do Zoom. Whatever you do, but it is we don't appreciate what a humiliation it was for David to get saras for 6 months. And at the end of the process, you have to shave off all of your hair, even your eyebrows, and the hair on your body, and the person's beard. The person looks funny. It's a horrible thing. And David over here is saying, now that I have suffered with saras, tichateini, pure. The word tichateini means the purification. Chitu, it means sin. We always say that. You have one word, it goes 180 degrees. It means chait, but it also means purification. When you manipulate the vowels, techateini, purify me with the ezoiv. And this alludes to the fact that David suffered from saras, the et hor, and I will be purified. Techabeseini, clean me, cleanse me, umisheleg albin, and make me more white than snow. David is asking for the ultimate purification, three different things. I should be laundered. Send me to a dry cleaners. Albin, tichabeseni, I'll wash myself out in my washing machine in my basement. And I'll also go to the rabbi for purification with the ezoif. Three different levels of purification, the ezoif, kibbutz, which you can also interpret to mean the mikvah. Many times when it says in the Torah word kibbutz means you immerse in a mikvah. You clean yourself in a mikvah, and albin, umisheleg albin, it's another expression of purification. Let's see the mitzvah David. The pasuk test techateini, purify me, ulezeh, and thus tosir chet'i, remove my sin, kimoyshe mesina tuma, im hazoas, just like you remove tuma with the hazoas, the sprinkling of the hyssop that you dip into. Okay, for tuma it's in water, paraduma water, and when it comes to the tsaras, you dip it in the oil and the blood, right? You dip in the oil and the blood. The oil is put with the finger, whatever. Forgive me. Should be whiter than snow. There are four different colors of white. I forgot this. The first mission of Masechta Nigoim, it talks about all the different shades of white. I totally forgot all these things, all different madregos of shades. A very hard Mishnah. Extremely difficult Mishnah to go through. That there was few Mishnais in the beginning of Masechta Nigoim, where it goes through different shittas, all the different colors of white. You need a chart, and you need a map. What?
Yeah, you do need a chart.
You need a chart. It's very, very complicated.
Snow is the whitest.
Is the whitest?
Yes.
Okay. So you, these are the different. I want to be even whiter than white. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Okay. I want to be very clean. Now, let's look at the Rashi on these two psukim. Let's see. Rashi, Hei Nemes, Chafat, Chafatzta, Vatichos. Okay, so again, we learned, I'll translate it first according to the Mitzudos, and then we'll see how Rashi manipulates it. Again, the Mitzudos says, this is a very hard, hein, behold, according to the Mitzudos, you skip a word, hein chofatzta. It is absolutely true that it is your desire that a person should train his thoughts that originate in vatuchos, in the kidneys, to operate with emes. This is what you want, Hashem. My father failed in that matter. That's how the Mitzudos trail. Now, what does Rashi say? V'hareini moide al ho'emes ki chatasi. He ends off differently. See, according to Rashi, he basically is translating the pasuk. I'm assuming the same way that the Mitzudos David translated, which Tzuzdav came later, of course. He's translating the same way, but instead of ending off, and my father is guilty, he ends off, doesn't talk about his father, Rashi, and I am guilty. I have to go and be yoyrei lo'oimkoy shel davar, to the depths of my kidneys, the source of knowledge, and acknowledge the emes, that I am guilty. Okay, it's a whole different twist, which makes it a little bit easier for us to comprehend. V'hareini moidem al ho'emes ki chotasi. He doesn't say that, by the way, anywhere in the pasuk. He doesn't say that. Everything over here is subject to interpretation, because everything over here is super duper abstract. This is real maral territory, Rav Michal.
If according to this theory, it reflects back on prior generations.
Yes.
Then it also reflects forward on all future generations.
So that's what they want to say. Aval anachnu v'avoseinu chatanu. So that's what we want to say. We want to say is that we are the cause. I don't know. It's very, this is very over my head, this stuff. But according to the, these words are very abstract. And that's the rule. When something is abstract, it opens up itself to interpretation. And everyone's going to say their piece. Rashi is saying, he's reading things that doesn't say in the pasuk. And the words are v'hareini moide al ho'emes. I confess. You, Hashem, it is your desire that a person should train himself to operate with emes. And we're adding now. And I confess. I acknowledge. I am guilty. Chotasi, chotasi, chotasi. And therefore, Hashem, I demand that you forgive me. Batu chois elu kiloyos. Shehein chalokois. Now here's another word, smooth. Chalokois. I told you when we learned the mitzudos of the word, I thought the word vatuchos means to smear, which is true, it's smooth. Like cream cheese on matzah, not on a bagel, because a bagel doesn't come out so smooth. You take cream cheese, you smear it on a surface. What?
You put a second layer, it comes out very smooth.
Oh, so too many calories, not healthy. Too many calories. Okay, so you smear cream cheese on matzah. I don't to smear. So Rashi says something similar. Schmear or smear? What's the correct word?
Schmear. In English it's smear, and in Yiddish it's schmear.
Oh, okay. Smear. Smear. To smear? No, they say schmear. Schmear. In English also? In English? We have to learn English. You see, next door they teach English as a second language. Here we teach English as a third language. Okay, so here so it means to schmear. Now Rashi goes a step further. What? Oh.
Yeah.
You take cement and you smear it on the brick. Right. So, but Rashi
doesn't bring that to some.
No, that's what the Mitzudas really seems to be saying. What are you smearing? Fat. Chelef. The kidney is the organ. The organ has been smeared with a layer of fat. So we call the kidney, the organ, after the layer of fat that has been smeared upon it. Rashi doesn't want to use such terms. And Rashi says, listen, the bottom line, after you smear that fat, it's smooth. It's chaluk, it's very smooth. So we're calling it he translates the word vatuchos literally as smooth, and it is referring to the kidneys. Okay, elu kloyeshehen chalukos. Umrachim chibroim kim tachaven. This is very interesting. Kim tachaven keshes. This means to. Now, I always thought that Rashi in Chumash, it's the same Rashi, so it's a pella. Rashi is contradicting himself. Rashi in Chumash translates kim tachave means a measure. A measure of a keshes, which means, you know, today we have miles and range. Meters, kilometers.
The range.
So it seems that in ancient times, there was a standard distance that when you have a bow and arrow, you have a bow and arrow, and you calibrate it. There's a certain industry standard of how far the arrow goes. Like today, I'm sure with weapons. Okay, you have weapons, all different types of weapons. And there's a certain amount of gunpowder, and there's a bullet. How far does a bullet go when you press, when you push the trigger? So it depends. It depends on the weapon you have. Some bullets can go. That's a lot. 2 miles. Some going a mile. Okay, it all depends. It all depends on the bullet. It all depends on how much gunpowder. It all depends on the barrel. Okay, you got to get into this. I remember we were in high school. We had such a good teacher. He taught us computers, and he was in the army. He served in the army for a long time, and he told all of us, were a bunch of idiots. If you want to get ahead in life, you all should go for basic training in the U.S. Army. He says it'll discipline you. You'll become a mensch. No, he didn't go to Tzal. He told us you should go to the military, to the U.S. Army, basic training. And they'll make us into, we'll come back, we'll be disciplined, and then we'll be able to learn good and behave good. And as it says, it's an experience like none other. He held every single citizen in this country, there should be a draft, everyone should go for basic training. Because the basic training, you don't behave, there they finish you off there. It's not like, maybe this country went woke, maybe it's different now. But he was an expert in weapons, and he taught us all about started teaching us about computers, about weapons, and it was like a shocking thing to us, telling that you shoot a bullet, it goes for a mile. No mile is a mile.
Those are specialized, like sniper rifles.
No, even a regular gun, a regular pistol.
If you shoot it up, it goes a long time. Like 45-degree angle, if you do it, like even a pistol,
even a pistol. And he says, you know, the regular house in Brooklyn, if a person shoots a gun, it can go into the house and come out and go through a few houses. It can go through multiple buildings, depending where which part of the house it goes. If it just goes through sheetrock, it can go through one house, another house. You can imagine how powerful a bullet is, how dangerous. It is sakonis nefashis. Oh, you just shoot people, they go and they shoot a bullet in the air. Where is that bullet going to end up? It's sakonis nefashis. It's going to come down somewhere. You shoot a bullet in the air. You take out a pistol. You shoot a bullet in the air. It's gonna land somewhere. Where is it going to land? Sakonis nefashis. Not even to be masik. How dangerous a weapon is. So in ancient times they had arrows, bows and arrows. And when you shoot an arrow. Please. When you shoot an arrow went a standard. It was based upon it was standardized. How big is the arrow? How much pressure? And you shoot an arrow, it goes a standard amount, and that became a called kim tachave keshes. So let's make believe it's a mile. If you shoot an arrow, I don't think it goes a mile. Probably goes a quarter of a mile. What? We don't know what we're talking about. It seems that they had standards, just like today things are standardized. They were standards. So you shoot an arrow, maybe Chazal say shoot an arrow. The arrow, a typical arrow, goes an average of a football field. I don't know, whatever it is, a couple, whatever yards it is, 100 yards, 500 yards, 1,000 yards, whatever it is, it goes. It's kim tachave. The translation of tachave means the measure of a keshes. That's what Rashi and Chumash says. Here he doesn't say that. Here he says kim tachave means the pulling. Tachave means the hemshech. You have a bow, and you have the yeser and the keshes. The keshes is the round part, and the yeser is the vertical part, the part that's straight, and you pull it. Kim tachave, the pulling, the two together.
He
The drawing. So he says here, Vatuchos means to draw. What are you drawing? What does that mean? Upisroinam, what it means is l'shoy meshech. What does that mean? Ki kasher yesh la keshes meshech, kein yesh meshech ladas. Knowledge, we're talking about advice. There is a meshech, a drawing you pull. That, this itself is subject to interpretation. You know, there's something called in thinking called, I don't know how to pronounce it, from the word elastic. Elastic means to stretch. How do I say the word again?
Elasticity.
Elasticity. There is a term dealing with when a person is not thinking well. There are different medications. People who are Rachman Lestam suffer from different types. There's a part of the way they, the terminology, the literature of studying how people think, there is certain medicines and is this medicine can causes elasticity, which means the mind is more expansive. The mind person can be very narrow and he can't think, and certain types of medications open up the mind, and the term they use is the mind stretches, which is an term, I don't know what it means in the medical world, which allows the mind to be more open, mind calms the person down, he relaxes, and he thinks out of the box. He's able to relax, calm, the mind, it's nimshach, it's elastic. Okay, I'm just saying things, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you what I, over the years, you read some things, some articles, and they talk about these things, it's elastic. Elastic, so he's that term is been plagiarized from Menachem. Where is Menachem to oppose a lawsuit for plagiarism? That term of elasticity is right here in Rashi. Rashi says the word the kidneys is the root of wisdom, and in wisdom, you can be very narrow and not be able to see the big picture. And then there's when the mind is relaxed and opens up and expands, it's elastic, it stretches, then you see things from a different perspective. You become, there's more creativity in your thoughts. It's unbelievable what it says, upisroinam l'shon neshech, ki kasher, just like yesh la keshes meshech, the whole purpose of a bow and arrow is to pull it, is to extend it in order to create the pressure so that the arrow will shoot at a long distance. Kein yesh meshech. There is something called a meshech, a drawing, an extension, and elasticity, ladas, for knowledge. I respectfully, with the greatest respect, do not really like that translator, yearning. I don't think it means, neshach means a yearning. I think it means over here, it's more of an open-mindedness, an ability to be creative.
Openness.
An openness to try to understand something from many different perspectives.
Out of the box.
So that's why we call it vatuchos, kimtachave keshes. Okay, wasn't it worth to come just for that? to learn this Rashi? The word batuchos is the kidneys. Either it means to shmir, or it means smooth, or it means to pull, to draw. And where do you find the word draw? Who ever heard this word? Yeah. Kim tachave keshes. By Hagar. Hagar, she distanced herself when she saw that her child was about to die. So she could not deal with it. She could not deal with what she was seeing. This is like the worst thing to do, is you have to confront. You have to confront, right? Read all these magazines. These magazines, they poison your mind, Yishna. Okay? Kim tachavei keshes. She distanced herself a standard measure of distance. And those days, it was called the drawing of the bow, which means the amount that when you shoot an arrow, when you draw the bow, you pull the yeser on the keshes and you shoot an arrow, it goes a certain distance, which was a standard, let's say it's a football field, that's how far she distanced herself. But the word is used to refer to the drawing of the bow. Okay, so we learned over here, now let's go to the next Rashi, which is the Rashi's. So here Rashi disagrees with the Mitsudais. A disagreement. The Mitsudais learned that this second half of the pasuk is just poetic repetition, and when it says the word uvisosum, we are continuing to refer to the kidneys. That's what we learned in the Mitsudais. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, when it says uvisosum, we're dealing with the heart. We're doing something totally different. Uvalev shehu sosum, that is concealed. Hodatani chokhma lehis vadois. Hashem, you have inspired in my heart to confess. So my kidneys are confessing and my heart is confessing. Incredible. When do you have such a thing on Yom Kippur? You ever talk of such nuschois? Is that on Yom Kippur you have to do vidui? Okay, vidui, my mind is going to do vidui, my heart's going to do vidui, and my kidneys are going to do vidui. We have a custom, we bang on our heart. Right? What? Yeah, but when you dive in with your mind, and what do we do when we say al-chait, 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 you hit your heart. I never saw anyone hitting their kidneys. According to the Mitsuda, according to Rashi, he's saying, my kidneys have come to the realization that it's MS that I've sinned. And also, uvesasum, my kidneys. What? And my heart, the first is the kidneys. And then when it says uvesasum, that refers to my heart. My heart also acknowledges that I'm guilty, I'm going to confess. Okay, Rashi's disagreeing with the Mitsudas. Uvesasum, chokhmo sodieni, uvalev, shusasum, hodatani, chokhmo, you Hashem have provided me with the wisdom that is in my heart. Again, this is a concept which I don't think scientifically we understand this, is that there is an element of chokhmah in the heart. We have an element of chokhmah in the kidneys, chokhmah in the heart. That's not what we understand scientifically. Today, all the wisdom is in the brain, not in the heart, but that's what it says. Lizvados, tichata'eni, ve'ezov kemisha matar mitzoyra utvemeis. So Rashi Taka mentions both. He mentions the mitzoyra and the tamimeis. All right, with your tube soak, we'll go tomorrow, do some of the first, and then we'll move on into the Gemara. There's a gewaldige stuff here in this Mizmar.